Hello and welcome. My name is Dr. Kenitra Bryant, and today's Motivational AIM targets loyal. Thank you all for tuning in. I am in a series entitled Jesus, the Realest Relationship You'll Ever Have. This is an 8-part series, and for those who are first-time listeners, I encourage you to listen to parts 1 and 2, as well as a variety of series that I've completed on the Aim Towards the Target podcast. This particular series targets in on why Jesus is the realest one you'll ever have a relationship with. There is no relationship that compares to the breathtaking, everlasting experience you'll encounter with Jesus Christ. The motivational aim, loyal or loyalty, is a quality that many people search for when they are in relationships with people. Some people find a person who is loyal to them, and that is a blessing. That is a treasure. And when a person experiences someone who is loyal to them, if they have any sense, they do not or they won't let go of that person, because loyalty, unfortunately, is rare. Quite a few people have gone through the sometimes traumatic effects associated with disloyalty, whether it was from somebody they were in a relationship with or they were the ones displaying the disloyal acts. And one quality about Jesus is that he is loyal. And I would like to share some definitions of what the word loyal or loyalty, that's the one I'm going to focus on, loyalty means. One definition is unswerving in allegiance, meaning not changing at all, not becoming weaker, remaining steady and constant to one's commitment to an individual, a group, or a cause. And the latter definition is what I'm going to stick with. When I think about the word loyal, other words that come to my mind are loyalty, faithfulness, commitment, dedication, stick-with-itness, grit, and promise. And since I'm targeting in on Jesus being the realest relationship you'll ever have, it is fitting to talk about how loyal he is. Jesus, I believe, is the only one outside of God who has ever been loyal to anyone on a consistent basis. Jesus and God don't allow emotions to rule and dictate if they're going to choose to be loyal to someone or not. And Jesus is so loyal that he died for the sins of people who, some people, whether you believe it or not, some people will not accept and receive his loyalty. They will reject him and his loyalty instead of receiving him and his loyalty towards them, so that they will not be eternally separated from him. But let me get back on target. There are some people who strive and they aim to be loyal to those they are in relationships with, and sometimes they miss the mark. It doesn't mean that they are vile people. Let's say that they were loyal to the people who they shared time and space with, and something came up and they did something to display disloyalty. Yes, that hurts. But it's proof that no one is as loyal as Jesus is in a relationship. Even if a person feels that in every relationship they find themselves in, they're striving towards loyalty, they don't do people wrong, it seems like things are always happening to them. Okay, that's great that that person is aiming towards loyal excellence. But let's think about that person's relationship with God. Are they being loyal to Christ? Are they being loyal to God 100% of the time, all of the time? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'm not saying that a person is a bad person. I'm not saying a person is thinking to be malicious and disrespect God and do God wrong and they're walking around with hatred. No. I'm just stating that even when we think we're doing the very best we can in our relationships with God, we still fall short of the glory. And that's stated in Romans, the 3rd chapter, in the 23rd verse. And it states, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And why do we all fall short? Because Jesus Christ is the standard. We are not the standard. No matter how good we think we are, everybody makes mistakes and everybody misses the mark at one point in time or another. And I am not saying this to excuse the acts of people who have been disloyal to you. And I'm not saying this to make a person feel good for being disloyal to someone. I'm not co-signing on disloyalty. I am just stating that everyone falls short of the glory. And Jesus Christ is the standard of righteousness, holiness, and gloriousness. Never forget that, or aim to never forget that God is the standard to live by. And if God and Jesus are the standards of loyalty and living, we've all fallen short in our relationship with Him. Yes, we've tried to do, or we aim to do, a good job in our relationships with people. But some people have been so disloyal to God that they've been focused on earthly relationships and they've neglected their Lord and Savior. They've been so focused on making this relationship work with a particular person instead of putting in work with the one who created the person. It's proof that we are not the perfect standards of loyalty, because God loved us so much to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to come into a disloyal world with disloyal people so that He could set the standard for our righteousness in Him, because we all missed the target. And He knew that. So He covered us in advance before we even came onto the scene. Jesus is loyal to everyone. But everyone is not loyal to Him. God is loyal to everyone, but everyone is not loyal to Him. I want to use an example, and I want to target in on Peter, one of Jesus' disciples. And based off of what Scripture reveals to us, I want to take a look at how Jesus was loyal to Peter, even though Peter was not loyal to Him at all times. Does it make Peter a bad person? Absolutely not. But the aim is to illustrate and explain how being in a relationship with Jesus is so real, because He is and will always be loyal, even when we don't reciprocate the loyalty back to Him. So let's set this scene up. It's not even a scene, it's real life. This is what happened. Jesus was interested in Peter well before Peter was interested in Him. And that's confirmed in Romans, the 5th chapter, in the 8th verse. And it states, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus was interested in saving our soul before we even knew what a soul was and before we even knew who Jesus was. He was interested in us before we were interested in Him. But let me go back to Peter. Peter heard about Jesus. He saw Jesus heal his mother-in-law. He saw how people were drawn to Jesus before Jesus called him. And the day that Jesus called Peter, there was a lot going on. There were a lot of people all in Jesus' face. They were pressing in on Jesus to hear what he had to say. But all these people were pressing in on Jesus, but Jesus was focused and interested in Peter. Jesus went after Peter. Jesus saw Peter. And what was in Peter, even though people were throwing themselves literally on him. Jesus' eyes were fixed on Peter and the anointing he had on his life. And for those who need a scripture reference to this, you can look it up in Luke, the 5th chapter, in the 1st through the 11th verse. And just looking at that interaction in exchange with Jesus being interested in Peter, before Peter was interested in Jesus, think about a relationship. Let's use a crush. Somebody has a crush on somebody. They really like this person. They've been watching this person for a long time, and this person that they're watching has no clue. And even if they have a clue, they don't understand how serious that person's interest is. So the person is doing the same thing. They're watching them, looking at them. People are all in their face trying to get their attention. Pick me, I'm here. Talk to me. But that person is not interested in all those people, even though all those people are in their face. They're not interested in them like that. They don't want to go in another level of life with them. They want to go with the person they're interested in. So all those distractions could be in their face. And these could be very good people too. Very great people all in their face. But they don't want them. They want the person they're interested in. So what do some people do? Some people go and pursue the one they're interested in. They go pursue them. Jesus pursued us. Jesus sought us out, saved us, delivered us, and declared us victorious. So let me go ahead and jump back. When Jesus did call and command Peter to follow him because he was interested in him, he let Peter know, in a sense, to follow me, be like me, imitate me. Because when you are connected with me and I'm connected to you, you're connected to my Heavenly Father. And everything that's connected to you should be connected to that. Your feelings should be connected to me. Your emotions should be connected to me. Whatever you've been fishing for, it needs to align and be connected with me. And if it's not in alignment, you need to let that go. Stop fishing for things that don't satisfy you. I'll satisfy you. Those things won't. Follow me because I satisfy. I feel, I provide, and being in a relationship with me is the realest one you'll ever be in. And I just thought about this. You have some people trying to act like they're Jesus in your life. They are literally acting like they are God in your life. They want you to serve them. They want you to follow them. They want you to imitate them. And they don't want you to be connected with Christ. That's not a real relationship. That's not real. That is a relationship to get you off of target. Where you're supposed to be serving God in your relationships and keeping Jesus first in your relationships. But no thing, nobody, no union, no anything should be put above Jesus Christ. And I believe some of you know or have experienced or heard about individuals in relationships. And a person starts worshiping the relationship, the idea of the relationship, and the person more than they worship and praise God for even putting them in a situation to even experience that. And sometimes people experiencing and going through stuff or relationships that they shouldn't be in. It is a red flag if somebody gets upset with you because you keep God first. You keep Jesus first. He's the realest relationship you'll ever have, but somebody's mad about that. That is a red flag. I don't even think it's a red flag. I think it's just straight fire. It's fire. You should be flabbergasted, taken aback, shocked, appalled, disappointed, upset. If anybody tells you that serving God and keeping Him first is what you don't need to do, serve them instead. Worship them instead. No, that's a problem. I don't care what relationship it is. I don't care if it's a relationship with your parent, siblings, spouse, relatives, classmates, somebody you're dating or courting or talking to, work-related relationships, employees, bosses, neighbors, I don't care, whoever, teacher, whoever. And then on top of that, some preachers, these are individuals who are not God-honoring. I'm talking about specific individuals who hold positions in religious institutions, proclaiming and saying that they love the Lord God with all their heart, mind, and soul, but their actions are letting you know because you've been reading God's word and you've been asking Him for discernment, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, revelation, and insight. Everything they do goes contrary to God's word and God's nature. And they're telling you, now you don't pray to God, come pray to me. Meet me at this time. There are some people like that. There are some. I don't care what it is. If anything or anyone is trying to set themselves up against God and then trying to make themselves the standard, that is not a real God-honoring relationship. It does not reflect Jesus whatsoever. It'll only reflect Jesus if Jesus is the center and foundation and first in it. Let me get back to Peter. Peter goes ahead and he follows Jesus willingly on purpose. And he becomes one of Jesus' disciples. And we know what a disciple of Jesus is. A disciple of Jesus Christ is a person who follows, studies, and does. They are doers. They are doers to what God or Jesus called and commanded them to do. Peter was in a relationship with the realest one. He experienced some great, breathtaking things and events and occurrences with Jesus. Jesus was walking on water and Peter witnessed that. And he trusted in God, and by him following Jesus, he was able to do things that he possibly would not be able to do if he was not in a relationship with Jesus. So when Jesus walked on the water, Peter walked on the water too. Peter witnessed Jesus speak against unclean spirits, unclean ways and actions by standing on the very word of God. Peter saw results when he was in this relationship with Jesus. Peter was able to see how when someone encountered Jesus, their lives were changed because his life was changed also. Peter was one of the elect disciples who was able to physically see the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. He was able to see, experience, and receive Jesus in a brand new way that was very powerful. And Jesus took Peter to new heights and new levels in their relationship. Jesus made Peter aware of the transformation, transfiguration, and blessing on his life by being connected to him, although people around them were asleep to the divine levels of promotion Peter went through. Jesus allowed Peter to meet and converse with people in high places who were well known to God. These were famous disciples that Peter was introduced to. Jesus physically, spiritually, and literally took Peter to a new level, all because Peter was in a relationship, a real relationship with Christ. Jesus spent quality time with Peter. Jesus taught Peter. Jesus trained Peter. Jesus mentored Peter. Jesus disclosed ministry issues with Peter. Jesus disclosed to the group of disciples, including Peter, that somebody would betray him. So Peter was made aware that Judas betrayed Jesus. See, this relationship that Peter was in, he was experiencing all these things that I'm mentioning, all these things I'm listing, because he was in a relationship with Jesus. Another thing, or some other things that Jesus did for Peter while they were in this relationship, is Jesus even disclosed to Peter the time frame when he would be betrayed, giving him insight, secrets to things that he didn't even know. Now, as I just said, Jesus was loyal to Peter. Jesus was interested in Peter before Peter was interested in him. Jesus allowed Peter to experience all these things I just named. And Peter loved Jesus, and he stated that he would be loyal to Jesus. He strongly declared that he was going to stay committed and connected and loyal to Jesus Christ. So I'm going to go ahead and read Matthew, the 26th chapter, and the 31st through the 35th verse. And here it is. Then Jesus said to them, "Tonight all of you will fall away because of me, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter told him, "Even if everyone falls away because of you, I will never fall away." "Truly I tell you," Jesus said to him, "tonight, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. "Even if I have to die with you," Peter told him, "I will never deny you." And all the disciples said the same thing. So you heard how strongly Peter declared that he would remain loyal to Jesus. He emphatically stated that he would always remain committed to Christ, and there would be nothing that would come up in his life that would make him turn away. You heard his response, and you heard Jesus' response to him. So the time comes for Jesus to separate from his disciples. But before that, Peter was with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane as Jesus prayed. Jesus asked Peter to pray, but Peter fell asleep. Jesus was over there sweating blood and praying to God because he knew the time would come when the betrayer would be coming to him to kiss him on the cheek, to sell him out to people whose minds were made up to kill Jesus. So Peter was there. And he even went off on somebody who was coming to take Jesus. And he cut this man's ear off because they were messing with the one he was interested in. Peter knew Jesus was loyal, and he experienced his loyalty firsthand. But when Jesus rerouted Peter's steps and he was going in the same direction where Jesus was going, when Peter met up with Jesus and heard what was going on with Jesus and how people were falsifying charges against Jesus, lying on him, mocking him, disrespecting him. And this happens, for those who want to read, it can be found in Matthew, the 26th chapter, in the 69th through the 75th verse. And that noise that you hear is rain and wind. Earlier you heard birds, but we're pressing forward and pressing through. And the scripture reads as follows. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl approached him and said, "You were with Jesus the Galilean too." But he denied it in front of everyone. "I don't know what you're talking about." When he had gone out to the gateway, another woman saw him and told those who were there, "This man was with Jesus the Nazarene." And again, he denied it with an oath, "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there approached and said to Peter, "You really are one of them, since even your accent gives you away." Then he started to curse and to swear with an oath, "I don't know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken. "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. So you heard that. But let me keep going, and then I'll come back to visit that. So Jesus was crucified after this situation occurred with Peter, denying him. So Peter has to live with the fact that he denied Jesus, he denied the one he was in a relationship with, and he denied the one who was loyal to him. And all he could think about was how loyal Jesus was, even though he was not loyal in return. So we fast forward, and these distractions are not playing today. So we fast forward. Jesus has already resurrected. The women who were looking for Jesus in the tomb, they didn't see Jesus, but they were told to go tell the disciples and Peter that Jesus was going into Galilee. Jesus, okay, he's walking the earth right now, and he goes and finds, you already know, Peter, the one who denied him. And when he goes to see Peter, what is Peter doing? He's fishing again. See, that's why it's important to stay connected to Jesus no matter what you have going on in life. Because remember, when Jesus first called Peter, what was Peter doing? Fishing. Yes, that was a profession, but we don't know what he was really fishing for. He could have been fishing for acceptance, fishing for his identity, fishing for status, fishing for worth, fishing for value. Jesus called him to follow him. Now he's fulfilled. He's made whole and complete. Then he's in this dynamic relationship with Jesus, and he makes a decision that is not pleasing to God. And he puts all of that regret and shame on himself. Feels like he's not worthy. And then he goes back to doing the very thing that Jesus brought him out of. He went back to fishing. And sometimes we do that. Jesus delivers us from an area, tells us to follow him out of the pit, follow him out of the sea of trying to search and seek our purpose when our purpose is in him. We do some things that are not pleasing to God. And then what do? Some people, what they do is they just feel like, I messed up. God's, he's not pleased with me. I can't serve him anymore because I messed up. I just don't know what to do. Let me go back to do what I was doing before, because apparently this walk is too hard and it's too much. I don't think I'm equipped. I don't think that I'm ready. I don't think that I have the ability to do so. But what does Jesus do? He comes to get you. He comes to get you. There's nothing that you could do. And God lets us know that plain as day. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. So if nothing can separate you, don't separate yourself. Do not separate yourself from the love of God. You never can. But don't try to make these attempts to go back and let me just go do this. No. Follow Jesus. Repent. Pray. Ask God for forgiveness. And aim to do better the next time. See, one decision in disloyalty could have a person go back to fish for what they don't need to satisfy them. Nevertheless, Jesus went to Peter. Jesus forgave Peter. Jesus reinstated Peter back to the position he left. And Jesus restored Peter. In the midst of everything Peter did in that relationship, during the great times, Jesus was loyal. During the trying times, Jesus was loyal. During the silent seasons, Jesus was loyal. Jesus was loyal to Peter in that relationship, although Jesus was going through persecution himself on several sides. Jesus remained loyal. Jesus is loyal to us even when we are not loyal to him. And before anyone looks at Peter's life and tries to criticize him, saying something along the lines of, why did Peter do that? He was Jesus' disciple. All he had to do was look at his bracelet on his arm that says WWJD, What would Jesus do? Okay. Every time you go through something, or a person, not you. Every time a person goes through something, are they looking at their bracelet, reciting that little slogan, what would Jesus do? I know for some people, they might have the bracelet on their arm, and they will take it off and start doing what they want to do. Or they might even tuck the letters underneath their wrists so they won't see it. So they can get involved with disloyalty, disrespect, on purpose. So let's do a recap and look at what Peter went through in his relationship with Jesus. And honestly, answer these questions. Okay? Have you ever fell asleep on Jesus? We know Peter did, but have you ever fell asleep on Jesus? We know Peter denied Jesus, but have you ever been ashamed to come before Jesus due to your disloyal actions? Have you ever not talked to Jesus in the relationship for a significant amount of time? Have you ever been walking with Jesus and everything is great, but as soon as you can't see or sense the presence of Jesus, you doubt your identity in him and you doubt his words that he said about you? Have you ever been in a situation where someone can see that the light of Christ resides on you and in you? And since you're in a storm, a challenge, or an obstacle, instead of admitting your relationship with Jesus, you deny your relationship with him for the crowd's sake? Have you ever tried to act like someone you are not in order to deny the truth that you are in relationship with Jesus because people are pressing you? Have you ever taken the time to evaluate if you are okay with taking the blessings from God, but when he commands you to do something, you fall asleep on it and you don't follow through with it? Has there ever been a time where you watched someone disrespect Jesus and then you make rash decisions to fix them only to find out that it is displeasing to God? Has God ever taken you to new levels and new heights of life, but some way you found yourself not thanking him for where he has taken you and how he has maintained you? Have you kissed Jesus in a sense where you're thanking him for all he does for you, but when things get tough, you search for other things or people to bail you out or to satisfy you? Have you ever reduced your relationship with God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ, in order to tell people or show people that you are not in a relationship with them to avoid accountability and responsibility? Have you ever remembered the promises that you made to God, saying that you love him with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and that you would never be disloyal to him? And then when you break the promise, God quickly reminds you of what you said? Have you ever felt so guilty, so full of regret, shame, embarrassment, and disappointment when you were disloyal to Jesus and returned to the very things that you were fishing for before he invited you in the relationship, knowing that those things did not satisfy you, but you go back to it anyway because it's comfortable and it's a distraction and it's a way to avoid dealing with doing the work to get back in alignment with God? After listening to or reflecting on those questions I presented, it's not the time to go dig a pit, jump in it, and bust out crying. And it's not the time to give up either. It's just time to understand what needs to be done and do it. If it means going to God in prayer, going to Jesus in prayer and asking for forgiveness, ask God to restore you. Ask God to forgive you. Begin walking in the forgiveness, knowing that Jesus did forgive you. Don't allow Satan to tell you that Jesus didn't forgive you. Look how disloyal you are. God's going to stop being loyal to you. That is a lie. 1 John, the first chapter in the 9th verse states, "If we confess our sins, Jesus, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Understand that if you want this forgiveness from Jesus and from God, you have to forgive others too. And you know what that means? Forgiving people who were disloyal to you in relationships. Forgiving yourself for being disloyal to people in relationships. And when we forgive individuals who've committed these acts of disloyalty, God will forgive us for our acts of disloyalty that we displayed towards him. We see how Jesus is loyal, and we see how he forgives us when we do things that are not pleasing to him. And even in all of this, we can see how real Jesus is. He's so real that he will never leave you alone in any state, season, setback, or situation. Jesus is loyal. That is why Jesus is the realest relationship you will ever have. Jesus serves as the example and standard for us to follow in our relationships with him and others. Ask God for wisdom and discernment as you journey through relationships in life, aiming to be loyal. Now, just because you're loyal to someone doesn't mean that you are to be stomped on and disrespected. It's a God-honoring balance in relationships. Never forget that. Don't allow people to tell you or suggest to you that you need to be loyal to them as they continuously, on purpose, with evil intent, exercise disloyalty to you. and tell you to take it. No, that's not how that goes. Pray. But overall, I think y'all get the point. And the scripture I would like to review with you once more is Romans, the 3rd chapter and the 23rd verse. And it states, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And I wanted to go over this with you once more to let you know that in all our efforts to exercise loyalty to Christ, we do miss the mark. But praise God that He forgives and Jesus restores and He remains loyal and committed to us at all times. Thank you all for tuning in. Visit drkenitrabryant.com to download Jesus, the Realest Relationship You'll Ever Have Bible Study. And on the site, you can grab some apparel aimed to inspire and remind you of who you are in Christ. You can connect with me on Instagram at Aim Towards the Target and on the YouVersion Bible app, where you can download, subscribe, and complete a variety of Bible devotionals aimed to remind you that Jesus is indeed the realest relationship you'll ever have. May God bless you with joy, focus, and resilience. Peace, and God bless.